Now, I don't know what you guys have planned for February 1st, but Kelleher and I will be at Rivoli for the first live event of 2018. Pitch Talks Live featuring Blue Jays GM Ross Atkins, hosted by Ashley Docking. Homestand kicks off Black History Month with a bang, welcoming president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, Bob Kendrick, to the show. Sportsnet's Shai Davidi and Morgan Campbell of the Toronto Star also will make appearances. Come join us. Go to homestandsports.com and get your tickets today.
Unfiltered, unscripted, and uncut.
Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon.
Did he have like strep throat?
What a voice.
He's 72 and smoked 2 packs a day his whole life.
100%.
He's always been like that.
He is a lung brush specialist.
TK and Weiner on Homestand Sports.
We have to get in and out today. Get in, get some good basketball talk going, and get straight out because Tiger Woods made the cut at Torrey Pines, and he already teed off. I got to watch him play.
You got to open every show with Tiger Woods.
No, I don't. He just got back. A year-long hiatus.
Whenever he's playing, you got to stop what you're doing and go watch, eh?
Just like the rest of the media. What's wrong with that? The guy is a media hotbed.
You know what? As long as he's even on the greens, he's going to be a draw for fans, because even if he's shooting poorly or he's killing it, he's in the news. People want to watch the guy. It's Tiger freaking Woods.
I was riding a pretty good high yesterday when the guy had a crazy back nine charge and made the cut at Torrey Pines on the North Course. That high and that buzz was immediately killed when the Raptors lost 97-93 to the Jazz.
That's tough. Only
their fourth home game loss of the season.
Pretty impressive. So now they're 17-4 at home, I believe. And certainly was unexpected. They were out in their Drake OVO jerseys. The court was rebranded. They were wearing these fresh jerseys.
I was a big fan.
The black and gold. And unfortunately, their performance wasn't quite as fresh as their attire.
And I think Coach Dwayne Casey said it best. Here's what he had to say.
If we're serious about going somewhere, we can talk all this stuff about winning and beating people, but if you don't approach it and do the job the right way, you know, from the coaching staff on down the players, we're not going anywhere.
I think he was speaking from the heart there. Well, when does he not speak from the heart? But I think basically what he's saying there is you have to bring it every single night and go with that championship mentality every single night to prove that you're the contending team that you are, because at the end of the day, they can look as good as they want in the regular season like they have for the last number of years.
It's all about the playoffs. All about the playoffs. And no, Casey's right. If you look at the championship DNA of teams like the Warriors and I guess formerly the Cavs, who knows what's up with them right now, but they've always been consistent. And you see in the playoffs, they just bring it to another level and they just steamroll teams, quite frankly, and they show why they're considered that championship caliber team. It's because they feel that they're better than the rest of the league and they show it. You know, and the Raptors, they can't afford to have duds like last night where you just come out flat like that. You need to bring it all 82 games if you want to really establish that identity, which obviously they hope to do.
And they do have nights where you watch them play and you go, wow, this is a really good team. This could be a contending championship team. You look back at that Cavs game last week.
Crushed them.
They, you know, crushed them. But then since that point, they played 7 games since then. They lost 4 of the last 7 games since that win.
And before that, it was all about just consistency, and this team really hasn't strung together prolonged losing streaks. And so far, they're doing well in that regard. I think if I'm Toronto, I'd be concerned if those losses start to pile up on one another. You get to a losing streak like 3 or 4 games. That's when there's cause for concern. But so far, this team's given me no reason to think that that's going to even happen the way they've been able to bounce back game in and game out and just come in with a refreshed performance.
And look, last night's loss, I think, was just a scenario where everything might have gone the Jazz way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 97-93 loss. You know, Ricky Rubio's game-winning... how many game-winning three-pointers does he have dying
Ricky
seconds
Rubio's
of the game?
Not the guy you expect to hit a shot like that. His difficulties from three-point range are well-documented, and hey, you got to feel pretty confident leaving a guy like that out there for a game-winning three. He did convert at that time, but most cases he won't. And also, the Jazz got pretty lucky. Yes, Jonas Valanciunas went off. He had 28 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks, But it was the backcourt, the all-star backcourt of Toronto in Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan that really struggled. Both of them really had off-shooting nights, and the fact that they only lost by four is honestly a good sign if you're the Raptors, considering how off they that duo was.
Oh, it very easily could have been the kind of scenario where you look back and think, maybe they didn't deserve the win, maybe they didn't play with all cylinders firing, but they're just that good of a team where they snuck out with the win. Wasn't the case. Just talking about Kyle Lowry, the guy went 2 for 14, 0 for 6 at three-point range. And yeah, Valanciunas did have a night. You're right, 28 points. It was the first time in his career he's drained more than one three-pointer in one game.
Valanciunas is a marksman now, eh?
Yeah.
He's taking lessons from DeMar DeRozan.
I wonder if they took him out for drinks the last night.
Oh, they must have.
Celebrate.
Even in a loss, though, after a loss?
That's true, actually. DeRozan was tearing his jersey at the end.
He was pissed.
He was pissed off.
But can you blame him, though? I mean, that's a game. That's a winnable game. And I think he definitely puts that one on his shoulders for sure, considering his off-shooting night. He knows that if a few of those baskets went in, his team could have very well pulled away with a win. And normally he comes through in those situations. Just it was one of those nights. And to do it on your home floor, too, is definitely disappointing. In the OVO jerseys, no less.
Especially against a team that went into that game 20-28.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's their first back-to-back win of the month, Utah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that can't happen then. Especially on their home floor, which they were dominant. What, 17-3?
Only their fourth loss of the season. And yeah, Valanciunas had a good night, but you can't rely on that.
No, not always. You can't.
That just should be like a cherry on top of...
He's that X-factor guy that really just complements your Lowry and your DeRozan when they're going off. It opens up so much for Valanciunas. And in this case, he's going to take over sometimes, but you can't rely on that, like you said, consistently from Jonas Valanciunas. Because it really depends on the matchup too, right? He was going up against Rudy Gobert, and it was a tough matchup for him. So give him credit for having such a good game. But it depends on the style of play the opposing team is playing with. That really dictates how Valanciunas is going to perform.
Donovan Mitchell at 26 points. He seems like
he's a stud.
He looks like he's going to be a really special player.
Oh, he's going to be not a generational talent. He's going to be an all-star, for sure. He's in the conversation right behind Ben Simmons, I'd say, as rookie of the year this season. He came out there was some attention on him come draft night, but it wasn't quite the hype that we get around guys like Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum, and he's just really performed and showed that he's a dynamite scorer. And considering he's just a rookie, I mean, this guy's going to develop and develop big time, too. He's been hitting clutch shots three after three. And I look just to get him more involved as a facilitator as he develops in his game. And obviously, defensively, he has room for improvement. But the signs are certainly bright for this young star in Utah.
Speaking of Lonzo Ball, Lakers taking on the Raps on Sunday at the ACC, hitting up the game.
I'm not sure. I got to try to find tickets, but... we'll see. We'll see. But I'm not sure if Lonzo's going to be playing in that one, which definitely takes away from the draw to that game. Although you do get to see another rook in Kyle Kuzma, who's been tearing it up for the Lakers. Jordan Clarkson's been pretty impressive lately. A couple of big 20-plus point performances. Had 19 last night. So certainly some players to watch if you're a fan of the NBA and young talent. Julius Randle, too, another guy, Kentucky alumni. So even if Lonzo Ball isn't playing, I'm still inclined to go to that game. Just Lonzo seems to be, he's just such a special passer and makes his teammates better, and you really see it as soon as he hits the floor with that Lakers team. That should be an easy win for Toronto, though, considering the inexperience of this Lakers team.
Hopefully get back on track for Toronto. I'd like to see LeVar Ball on the court and see what
isn't he still in Lithuania?
You know, he's the assistant coach for the team.
I
LiAngelo
know.
And LaMelo's team.
And his sons went off. I think LaMelo had 43 points. LiAngelo had like 39 and 12 or something crazy the first game he was assistant coach. So maybe he's just really actually that good a coach. Who knows? I mean, because he's been in the news calling out Luke Walton, how they want his head. And LeVar Ball, man, maybe he'll be a coach one day. Could you imagine that?
The Kardashians of the NBA.
Yeah, he has a reality show, Facebook Live. They broadcast all the games. I mean... To be fair, though, LaMelo seems like he's going to be a special player. He's only 16, remember, and he's dominating against adults. Yes, it's in Lithuania, but it's still pretty intriguing to look at this family and how if he actually gets even two of his three sons into the NBA and they're playing at the same time, and, well, he wants them clearly on the Lakers, but if that ends up happening, it'll be quite a story for the NBA.
The circus that would be in Los Angeles.
It's already started.
Magic Johnson had that happen.
It's already started.
It's already started, and he welcomed it.
I know, and you'd be crazy to think that the Lakers didn't know what they were getting into drafting Lonzo Ball. Like, it was clear that this guy was going to be bringing his father's shadow in with him, and so far there's been mixed reactions to it, but you can't be too unimpressed with how Lonzo's played this season. Obviously, his shot was struggling early on, but he's really bounced back and been a pretty big bright spot for this team.
Imagine it doesn't work out for him career-wise. Something happens where he's not the superstar player they thought he would be. Maybe he just is an upper echelon player, a good player, but not number two pick overall caliber, you know, not franchise player caliber. And you look at a guy like Jason Tatum who's playing for Boston, and he's, you know, he seems like he's going to be a phenomenal player, and then faults over in Philadelphia.
He's had his struggles too. Totally reinvented his shot, but I know what you mean. He has a bright future. I'd say if he can just ride the ship, Markelle Fultz. But no, Lonzo Ball, I mean, part of the reason why all this pressure is on him is his father. If you take away LeVar Ball, you'd look at Lonzo Ball and think, okay, this guy's having a pretty solid rookie season. I mean, he's averaging hovering near triple-double, I guess a few rebounds, a few assists shy of that, but and his shot's improving. This guy definitely has promise. It's just there's so much pressure on the guy because of his father and how he's saying, oh, this guy's going to lead the Lakers to championships, blah, 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 blah. It just puts so much pressure on the kid, whether he is receptive, like whether he can ignore his father or not. It's just eventually it's going to get to him.
I think he has to get to the point where he sits down with his dad and says, seriously, Dad, you got to lay off for a bit. This is my career, not yours. I think he gets a bunch of crap on the court from other players.
Without a doubt.
Because of his dad. And every time you go on any kind of website or any kind of media base at all for sports, LeVar Ball is headline news.
But by all indications, Lonzo seems like a pretty humble guy and a stand-up guy. So it's just about separating himself from his father, which obviously is very tough when LeVar is in the media just ranting TSPN left, right, and center every day, you know?
He's hilarious. He's fun to watch. Just talking about the headline news, he generates more headline news from the NBA. DeMarcus Cousins is out for the season with a torn left ACL. We were looking over this injury, and I've looked over the replay at different angles so many times. I have no idea how this guy tore his ACL.
It's one of those freak injuries. I mean, kind of like resembled the Jeremy Lin injury from the first week of the season. It happened, and it's really unfortunate for the NBA as a whole, the Pelicans especially, because that front court duo of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins was lethal. You did not want to face up against those guys. And heck, they were ready to start the All-Star game together, and it's just really unfortunate. It changes the entire outlook of this Pelicans franchise because, hey, they were going for a playoff spot this season, and without DeMarcus Cousins, who really just is so productive for this team, where do you go? Do you try to sell Anthony Davis now to potential suitors on the trade market? I mean, what do you do? Because I don't think a playoff spot is realistic with just one of those guys. And it's really unfortunate because also Jrue Holiday was having a great year. And they had the pieces. They were missing just a few of those bench pieces and role players, but they had the star power, and it's really unfortunate for the league.
It's tough for the fans because last year they kind of came to the conclusion that they couldn't get it all done with Anthony Davis alone. They had to get Cousins and, you know, get that duo and that tandem going and then build around it and go from there. And you're looking at a team that was sixth in the West. They've won four straight games. They're 8-2 in their last 10. And now the big man goes down.
It's tough. It's really tough, and especially considering that Cousins and Davis, at first, there was some rust in terms of learning how to play with each other. But this season, you just saw, they knew how to play with each other properly. They would get each other involved, find each other on cuts. Heck, Anthony Davis would just run down the court, and Boogie would feed him with a touchdown pass. Like, that's the sort of chemistry they were developing, and it just sucks that it has to be halted now. And also for DeMarcus Cousins, this is a guy who was hitting free agency this offseason. He's 27, in the prime of his career, was looking at that 5-year max deal. I'm sure if I'm another team, I definitely would consider giving him that max deal, but you never know with an Achilles injury, considering that he's doubtful to start even next season. It's just a huge wrench in the plans for DeMarcus Cousins' career and just his trajectory. I mean, who knows how he responds? We've seen guys like Elton Brand suffer injuries and just not bounce back. Hopefully, DeMarcus Cousins isn't the latest name on that list of big men who can't recover properly.
I think he'll be back by next season.
I would hope so.
I think he'll make sure he's back, especially he's in a contract year. But, you know, I don't think his stock is really going to decrease. It's DeMarcus Cousins.
This guy's a beast. I mean, the numbers he was putting up, he had 44 points, 24 rebounds, 10 assists. Like, that was the first guy to record a line like that since 1968, Wilt Chamberlain, for God's sakes. He's a special talent. Like, no questions about it. I definitely would take the risk on the guy.
Tough for the Pelicans to see him go. Tough for the All-Star game to see him go, playing for Team LeBron. You know who else is playing for Team LeBron? Kyrie Irving. And I got to own this, because I said earlier in the week, there is no way in hell this guy plays on Team LeBron. I didn't think he was going to pick him up. I thought they were feuding a little bit, not the best of friends. Turns out they're going to play together. I wonder if Steph Curry hit up LeBron and said, I'm not taking him. I'm making sure you guys play together. Just to ruffle up some feathers.
Yeah, unfortunately, it wasn't televised this year. I'm sure in future years it will be, because that's must-see TV, in my opinion. The storylines that could be caused from that. I mean, but no, who knows what happened behind closed doors, but I mean, both teams are pretty good. Obviously, LeBron's took a big hit with Boogie Cousins going out, but maybe he did. I don't know. But Kyrie Irving together with LeBron again?
I'm telling you, man. Stick him at center court 15 minutes before the game and have them pick teams right then and there.
Just on live TV, just
on
in the
live
moment.
TV, background style, playground style.
Yeah. Because who knows how much prep they had off air, obviously, during this draft, because I'm sure it took like an hour. Who knows? I would definitely take my time if I was LeBron James or Steph Curry trying to choose my team, because I don't know about you, but I want to see a competitive All-Star game for once, and maybe this year we get it with these teams. Who knows?
I do too, and I think both teams are going to go for the W. Now, the big news from Kyrie Irving isn't that he's playing on LeBron's team. It's that news just broke that he threatened the Cavaliers that he was going to sit out the entirety of this season with a knee injury had they not traded him, which I think is insane.
Right.
And so NBA, too, to get news like
Well,
that
the players
breaking.
Have the power, right? It's a star-driven league, and Kyrie Irving really wanted out of LeBron's shadow, and it's clear. But just to threaten a team, I just can't fathom it.
Now, obviously, Kyrie denies the report that he threatened to do this.
I don't know. I would definitely think that if multiple sources are saying that was the case, that he threatened that, I would definitely believe them. Because obviously Kyrie wants to deny it, because it's a horrible look from him.
Yeah, but who's the source that broke this?
Probably some ESPN guy.
And all it is to ruffle up feathers. That's all it is. Because all the news coming out of Cleveland has been
awful.
Hot garbage. It's been LeBron James
calling out his team.
Calling out his team, congratulating himself before he gets to the 30,000
point plateau.
By the way, congratulations to LeBron James for getting
quite
to the 30,000 point
seventh
plateau.
Seventh all time.
Good for you, but you didn't have to tell us that. We were supposed to tell you that, man. The good players say they're good. The great players are told they're good.
Well, he has an ego. There's no secret about it. Probably one of the reasons why Kyrie wanted out. How do you expect to...
You don't think Kyrie has an ego, saying he wants his own
team?
They
both do. Hence why he left. They both have huge egos. But I'm interested to see how they play together in the All-Star game, if there's any harsh words shared between the two. And certainly you could say the same about Durant and Westbrook being on the same team once again, Team LeBron. Durant in the starting lineup, Russell Westbrook on the bench. But definitely some bad blood between those two as well.
Yeah, and I have no issue with Irving going over to Boston. I want him to get as many touches as he can get, and I think he's the most exciting player for me to watch personally. Anytime the Celtics are playing, I'll tune right in just to watch Irving play.
Well, yeah, he has the ball on a yo-yo string, pretty much. The guy has the best handle in the NBA. Sorry, Steph Curry, he does. Kyrie Irving is just a ball-handling wizard when he gets inside the paint, how he's able to switch it with both hands. It's incredible, his touch around the rim, too.
He's an exciting guy to watch. Moving from the All-Star game to the NBA Rising Stars, no Raptors invited to that game.
That's a mistake.
The eligible players were Poeltl, Van Vliet, Ananobi, and Siakam. None of them going.
Mistake. I'd say Poeltl definitely deserved to be there. I mean, this guy has been a force in his second year, blocking shots left, right, and center, and just being such a vital role on this team behind Jonas Valanciunas as that backup center. And then you mentioned a guy... like Fred VanVleet, I didn't think he would definitely get in there, but he's been pretty good. There's no question about it. He's bailed the Raptors out a few times. And then OG Anunoby, are you kidding? I mean, this guy doesn't really show up in the box scores, but his defense is elite already.
But I think that's
the reason.
Maybe that's the reason
just he wasn't
they never
in the box
got the
scores.
Invite. Same thing you're saying with Poeltl. The guy blocks shots like crazy.
Yeah, he's not putting up 20 and 10, though.
That's not the sexiest thing to get you into the All-Star Rising Stars game.
And considering how many people watch the Raptors in the United States, there's no surprise why those guys aren't getting attention.
That's what it is, 100%. Nobody cares about the Raptors.
Here we go.
South of the border.
It's true, though.
It's true.
It's true. And
I think that's why Dwayne Casey walks around with a chip on his shoulder. You know,
the whole team.
I think, and it's very obvious that Dwayne Casey's very good with the media. You know, is a very nice guy, very intelligent gentleman. But at the end of the day, he goes into every game wanting to blow out and get the crazy win because he knows that the Raptors are so far out of the limelight no matter how well they play.
And that the only way you can really solve that and get into the limelight is wins and consistently winning and actually making some noise come postseason time. And no, there's no doubt about it. I think that Jakob Poeltl definitely deserved to be there. OG Anunoby probably did too. But again, it's just a lack of attention. And what can you say? You know, they're in Canada and the NBA is American teams galore. You know, there's plenty of them. And there's no surprise why that the Raptors are overlooked a lot. Do you think Kyle Lowry deserved to be an All-Star? Just back to the All-Star game, I can't get that off my mind. I really don't think he did. Reason being, all his numbers are down, and clearly DeRozan's leading that team. Lowry did miss some time, but just not too much time. But I just think his role in the offense is clearly decreased. He's not as vital offensively. Don't get me wrong, he's still important, just not to the same extent he was in previous seasons. His numbers are down. I think there were certainly more deserving guys than him.
Well, we're talking about how playing in Toronto affects your ability to get in the spotlight and get seen and be able to get that All-Star selection. You're saying Kyle Lowry, if he doesn't deserve to go, you think he wouldn't go because of where he plays and
right.
Get something. I mean, you think about it, only three players average at least 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists a game. James, Westbrook, the third is Lowry.
Okay.
Well, so
maybe it's because maybe some recency bias because he's made the All-Star team. Well, now this is his fourth time, but he's a 3-time All-Star. He's made it in recent seasons. Do you think that could be it? Just because I really, yes, or maybe they're rewarding the team for being a winning organization and they needed two All-Stars there, you know, because Golden State obviously has 4 because they're Golden State.
Do you think it's just a given that whatever
team
DeRozan does, Lowry has to do too because they're kind of the tandem, the duo. Like, yes, DeMar DeRozan is, you could say, will go down as the greatest Raptor of all time. Right now, he is statistically, he's going to be the greatest Raptor of all time.
Mm-hmm.
His number should be retired or whatever.
His jersey way down the road, but yes.
Yes, way down the road. But I'm saying, at the end of the day, he is a franchise player. But when I think of superstars in the league and guys that get marketed so well and stand alone, whenever I think of the Raptors, I think of Lowry and DeRozan together. I don't think of DeRozan as that center cosm of the entire universe of the Toronto Raptors, and then Lowry is just a second fiddle to that. So when I think of DeRozan going to the All-Star, I think of Lowry going too. In this scenario, Lowry's a reserve. He's not a starter. DeRozan's a starter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he should go. I just said it, man. Only three players getting 17.6 rebounds and 6 assists averaging per game. LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Kyle Lowry. So the numbers don't lie. 4-time All-Star. Give it to him. You think Andre Drummond should be an All-Star, though?
I really do. I mean, this guy, sure, his team's not winning too much in the Detroit Pistons. They had a hot start to the season, but at the end of the day, they did tail off. But Drummond statistically has been dominant. The guy gets 20 rebound, 20-point games all the time. Swat shots just with reckless abandonment. Are you kidding me? I mean, this guy, in response to being snubbed, what, he went 30 points, 24 rebounds, like 4 blocks, something crazy like that. This guy put up a nuts line, and honestly, he should have been an All-Star. I don't think you can reward teams, the winning teams, more All-Stars just because they're winning. I don't. If you're looking at individual talent, Andre Drummond has been dominant this season for Detroit. He deserved to be an All-Star. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Who do you think is going to replace Cousins as a starter?
Ooh. Well, I'd assume one of the reserves steps up on Team LeBron, so either Porzingis or LaMarcus Aldridge. I'd say LaMarcus Aldridge deserves it.
You don't just go with the big name?
No, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Like a Russell Westbrook last year's MVP?
No, because you need a forward, right? I would say. Because LaMarcus Aldridge, if you think about it, this guy has led the Spurs to a third seed in the West without Kawhi Leonard for pretty much the entire season. So his performance has been outstanding. I put him in that slot for sure. No questions about it. But if you got to replace that reserve spot, I think why not take a look at Drummond? I think he deserves to be in the All-Star game. If you could definitely have him as a replacement player, he definitely deserves it. But Aldridge should definitely start over DeMarcus Cousins since he's obviously out for the season.
Well, it's been good talking to you, Josh, but Tiger Woods is about to tee off.
Okay, go to your TV.
Tied for 65th, baby, one under.
Plant yourself on your couch. Go eat your potato chips. Go drink a beer or two. Have a good time. It's Saturday.
I will. You do the same, listeners. We'll talk to you guys next time on Hoop Talks with TK and Weiner.